Blog Talk Radio.
He's so good. Ooh. I love him, I love him, yes I do. Oh yeah, yeah.
Transformation Station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and I am so blessed to welcome you to the Common Sense Files with your host, Brother Rick Altman, and yours truly for this Friday, April the 14th, 2023. Now, before we begin our program, we will start with a word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we are just thanking you for being Jehovah God, for being a wonder, for being the great I am. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon our teaching tonight. Lord, use this teaching to strengthen your saints. And Lord, I pray that you would use this teaching, hallelujah, to draw the lost. And we pray it all in your name, Father God. Amen and amen. Now, my brothers and sisters, the last time we were together, my brother and I began a comprehensive study of the book, The Ten Commandments, Still the Best Moral Code. And it was written by Mr. Dennis Prager. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the reason that my brother and I thought that this book was so amazing and it would be an amazing book to share is because of the spiritual and the common sense it possesses. Because like Mr. Prager, my brother and I believe that the most important words ever written are the Ten Commandments. Now, these commandments changed the world when they were first presented at Mount Sinai to the Israelites, and they are still shaping the world today. They are the foundation stones of Western civilization, and given their staggering importance, you would think that all societies, and most certainly our educational and religious institutions, would be more adamant about studying them more closely. But sadly, this is not the case. Our schools ignore them, and our churches and synagogues take them for granted. But here's a simple test. Can you name all Ten Commandments? And if you can name them, can you also explain them in a way that makes sense to the modern eye and the modern ear? Well, saints, we can thank Jesus for Mr. Prager because if you are a person of faith, this book will strengthen it. If you are an agnostic, it will force you to rethink your doubts. If you're an atheist, it will test your convictions. You see, it doesn't matter if you have thought little about the Ten Commandments or if you know and understand them well. This book is going to offer up some real revelation. Hallelujah. Now, during our program on March the 10th, my brother and I, we covered the book's introduction and the first commandment. So at this time, I am going to ask my dear brother, hallelujah, the commandant of common sense, hallelujah, the Pied Piper of political analysis, my brother, Rick Altman, to come forward and bring us the first commandment and his excellent commentary, and then we will move for your review. Amen. Brother Rick?
Thank you, Bishop Sherlene, and I hope I can live up to that. What a wonderful introduction, and I hope I can live up to that. But as you said, the book by Dennis Prager, the title tells it all, doesn't it? The Ten Commandments, Still the Best Moral Code. I mean,
yes.
That says it all right there. And, you know, we need to have a code to live by if we're going to live in societies. If you're going to live out in the desert, you're going to live in the jungle or someplace, it doesn't matter how you live because it's all you. But if we're going to live together, you know, by thousands, by millions, by the tens of millions, we've got to behave in a certain way if we're to enjoy and share the benefits of living in this great society, Western civilization that we enjoy. So we'll start with Commandment 1. And here's why it's important. Sorry, just back up one second more. Here's why it's important. What we need to be doing is instilling this moral code into our children. And I know many parents have tried to introduce religion or, spirituality to the children. And, you know, if you haven't been as successful as you'd like, maybe let's go about it the other way. Let's introduce how you act, and maybe that will lead them to the spirituality that you design, you would hope that they would embrace. Kids want to know how to act. They're growing up. They know that they don't know much. They're looking around. They're watching adults. They want to know how to act. And so this is like the perfect audience to say, this is how you act. This is the code. And I remember one time I was talking to a a friend of mine, he was an officer, and he was in charge of a group of Army Airborne troops, an elite group. And we were talking and about how people were acting, of course, and he said, a man's got to have a code. And I had never thought of it like that. This was years ago. I had never thought of it like that. And I said, yes, a man has got to have a code. And every man does, man, woman, every person does have a code. And his holding on to that, and he was so adamant about it, I thought, that is very interesting. And so here we go. Here's the best moral code. We'll start with the first commandment, commandment number one, which Dennis titles, I am the Lord your God, and God wants us to be free. And what is the first of the Ten Commandments? It might seem like an old question, but it's not. The Ten Commandments, and then he gives it in Hebrew. I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. This statement is so important that none of the other commandments make sense without it. First, it asserts that God is giving these commandments, not Moses or any other human being. Second, God is the only one who delivered you from slavery. Again, no human being did this, not even Moses. Therefore, you have an obligation to God. What is the obligation? That you live by the following commandments. This is the beginning of what is known as ethical monotheism, the greatest world-changing innovation of the Hebrew Bible. It means two things. Ethical monotheism means that one God, that's monotheism, is the source of ethics, of morality. Morality, an objective code of right and wrong, does not emanate from human opinion. It emanates from God and therefore transcends human opinion. The other meaning of ethical monotheism is that God wants most from us is that we treat other human beings morally. And it all comes down to that, is how we treat other people. You know, we all know the golden rule, you know, treat other people how you would like to be treated. If everybody acted like that, you know, it would be much safer, you know, a much better place to live. None of the Ten Commandments concerns what humans must do for God. But now, thanks to the Ten Commandments, mankind learned that what God wants is that we be good to our fellow human beings. Even the commandments concerning not having false gods and not carrying God's name in vain are ultimately about morality. The thing we can do for God is to treat all his other children decently. Imagine what that would be like if everybody treated each other with respect. Can relate to this. Parents, at least healthy parents, according to Mr. Prager, have indescribable joy when they see their children act lovingly toward one another and indescribable pain when they see their children hurt one another. So too God, who is linked to our Father in heaven, cares most about how we treat other human beings, all of whom are his children. Third critical statement, teaching of the first statement, I am the Lord thy God who took you out of Egypt, is the importance and the meaning of freedom. Note that God is not saying in his introduction to the Ten Commandments that he created the world. It surely would have made a lot of sense for God to introduce the Ten Commandments with that statement. I am the Lord your God who created the world. That is, after all, pretty impressive. It would make sense. I created the world. You better listen to me. But no, the one thing God declares is that he took the children of Israel out of slavery and into freedom. That's how God hates slavery, and most important, God considers freedom. And how most important God considers freedom. The founders of America based their entire view of America on this belief, and God wants us to be free. That's why the most iconic symbol of the American Revolution, the Liberty Bell, has only one sentence inscribed on it, a verse from the Hebrew Bible, proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all inhabitants thereof. Now, there's other equally important lesson about freedom imparted by the opening statement of the Ten Commandments, what freedom means. The giver of the Ten Commandments is, in effect, saying, I took you out of slavery and into freedom, and these Ten Commandments are the way to make society free. Think of that. These Ten Commandments are the way to make a free society. You cannot be a free people if you do whatever you want. Freedom comes from moral self-control. Freedom comes from moral self-control. There's no other way to achieve it. And fourth and finally, by telling us that he liberated the Hebrew slaves, God made it clear that he cares deeply about human beings. It is impressive to create the world, but what most matters is not only that there is a creator, but that the creator cares about his creation. All of that is in the one statement with which the Ten Commandments begins. So Again, you know, just to go back, and I'm, you know, I'm glad that Mr. Prager mentioned the parents and everything, because that's how it starts. You know, we're preparing, you know, another generation. We're constantly doing it. And so how do we do it? Well, we can infuse them with a moral code that will give them a basis on which to live. And the more people that act, you know, according to that moral code, the nicer, the safer, the better the society in which we live will be. Commandment number two, no other gods. There are more idols than ever. And I did a little research on this, and I'll share them with you in a second. Then it says, let's discuss the second commandment according to the oldest. That is the Jewish enumeration of the Ten Commandments. In the Christian tradition, it is the first commandment. Yes.
Hold on. Stop right. Put a pin in there right there before we go to the second commandment. Okay. We're going to have a little more review because we have young people sitting in the chat room. And before we move on, let me answer a few questions for you. Yes. First commandment says, thou shalt not have any false gods before you. And in today's society, young people, we have a tendency of making money our God, people our God, possessions our God. Back when these commandments were presented, people were worshiping other people. They were, they felt like they could flatter other people. You know, they could flatter certain people, and then they could get what they wanted. But you see, the Lord came along and said, let me explain something to you. I am the Lord your God. I created you. I brought you out of slavery into freedom. We can only have freedom through our relationship with God, okay? And you need to understand that God, understand me, from Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created. Did not say, in the beginning, Buddha created. In the beginning, Muhammad created. In the beginning, Hare Krishna created. It said, in the beginning, God created. And what you need to know about God is a jealous God. And you also need to know that God is omnipotent. That means all-knowing. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. He's almighty. He's omnipotent. He's almighty. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. So nobody down here is going to get anything past him. He created us. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So we don't want you to get it twisted at all. We don't want you to be confused here. See, we're talking about the same God, the God of Isaac, Jacob, and Abraham. We're talking about the same God. Hallelujah, that loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son to die for us. We're talking about the same God that hung the moon and the stars and the sun in the sky. Okay? So you need to know that there is only one God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He was here in the beginning. There was none before him. And there will be none after him. So, beloved, when you see that commandment and you want to really be free, you need to understand that this moral code is God's moral code. It is what God says is the correct and right thing to do. So having said that, I pray that that answered your question, beloved. Hallelujah. And now we will have our brother continue on with the second commandment. I just don't want you young people to be confused, okay, because we're here to help. We're here to help you learn so that you can teach others. Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother Rick, for being so flexible and taking the time to take a little break there. But now you can just begin with that entire second commandment over again, because we don't want anyone to miss anything. Amen.
Amen. Now, Dennis does make the point that there are more idols than ever. And when, no other gods. But he says, most people, when they think of this commandment, understandably think that it only prohibits the worship of idols and the worship of gods, such as the ancient pagans of gods of rain, fertility, the other nature gods, the chief gods, such as Roman Jupiter and Greek Zeus. However, there is a major problem with the understanding of the commandment, since no one today worships these gods, let alone worships idols made of stone. Most people think that this commandment is irrelevant to modern-day life. The irony, however, is that this commandment is not only relevant to modern-day life, it is in many ways the mother of all the other commandments. And you mentioned a few before, some of the modern gods. Some of the research I did on this, iPads, video games, TV, movies, all of which, if you do them too much, I mean, certainly, you can do a little bit, but if you do it too much, that takes the same place in your mind. Why is this irrelevant today? Because today we have as many false gods as the ancients did. And why is the mother of all other commandments? Because if we identify false gods and avoid worshiping them, we will eliminate one of the greatest barriers to a good world. That would be false gods. So let's begin by defining a false god. The point of biblical monotheism is that there is only one God, and that only this God, the creator of the universe, who demands that we keep these Ten Commandments, is to be worshipped. Why? First, because one God means one human race, only if we all have the same creator or father, as it were, as we are all brothers and sisters. Second, having the same parent also means that no person or group is intrinsically more valuable than any other. No person or group is intrinsically more valuable than any other. And third, one God means one moral standard for all people. If God declares murder wrong, it is wrong for everyone. And you just can't go to another God for another moral standard. When anything else is worshipped, bad things result. Not only things that can obviously lead to evil, such as the worship of power or race or money or the flag, but also things that are almost seen as quite beautiful, such as art, education, even love. Yes, any of these often wonderful things, when worshipped, can lead to terrible results. Art is an example. Many of the cruelest humans in history loved beautiful music and art. But as a music lover, I learned early in my life the sad fact that great music can be used to inspire people to follow evil just as much as it can be used to inspire people to do good. And then he gives a good example. The great Hollywood director Stanley Kubrick vividly made this point in 1971, A Clockwork Orange, in which men rape and murder while classical music plays in the background. Take education. We all recognize how important education can be, from preparing people to be able to find work to understanding the world. But education in and of itself, divorced from the higher ends of God and goodness, can lead and often has led to great evil. Many of the best educated people in Germany supported Hitler and the Nazis. And almost all of the Western world's supporters of the genocidal regimes of Stalin in the Soviet Union and Mao in China were highly educated. There's nothing about a PhD that guarantees a person will be wiser, kinder, or more ethical than someone with only a high school education. The same holds true of even love. Love, of course, is so often beautiful, but it can, too, lead to evil. In the 20th century, people who put love of country above love of God and goodness often committed terrible evil. Yeah, terrible. And here's a test for you. Imagine that the pet you love and a stranger, a person you don't know and therefore could not possibly love, are both drowning. Do you first try to save your pet or the stranger? Well, if love is an end in itself, you will save your pet. But if you hold human life as a higher value than love, you won't follow love. This commandment made the ethical revolution of the Bible and of the Ten Commandments, what is known as ethical monotheism, possible. Worship the God of the Ten Commandments and you will make a good world. worship a false god, no matter how noble sounding, and you will end up with a world of cruelty. And some of the other examples of false gods, and you see it around us today. For instance, so many people who don't say or demonstrate that they have any moral or religious belief system worship the environment. They worship global warming. It's like taking the place in their mind. And I'm not saying that we should ignore pollution. I think that we should do what we can to clean up pollution. And we have in this country, we have over the last several decades done a good job, but we need to do more. But don't let that dominate everything that you do. It's a dangerous thing to allow something like that. And there's a lot of other examples. But as I was preparing for this, I was going through and looking at some history, and Dennis mentioned Stalin, and I was trying to remember, you know, was there Marxism? Well, I see here. I'll just quote. I can quote Marx here very quickly. Karl Marx, the co-author of the Communist Manifesto, declared, "Communism begins where atheism begins." So right there. Believe more in the state. Statism, that's what communism is. Nazism is also national socialism. It's the same thing. It's statism. It's totalitarianism. And Stalin did what he could to repress the church until things got really bad for Russia in the Second World War, and then they allowed some of the churches to practice without too much hindrance. For Hitler, in private, Hitler could be strongly critical of organized religion. He viewed Christian concerns with compassion and charity as a significant weakness of those people who had those concerns. Hitler also believed the core values of Nazism, nationalism, obedience, and loyalty to the state were contradicted by religious teachings. He feared the political influence of churches might undermine his own agenda. And, of course, as Dennis points out in describing the Ten Commandments, it's about freedom. It's about human freedom. You don't have freedom under Nazism. You don't have freedom under Stalinism, Maoism, communism, whatever you want to call it. It's all statism. The state has the power. The people have nothing. And so that right there would lead you to believe that, if not overtly, as in Stalin's case, but perhaps roundabout way in Hitler's case, they will continue to try to devalue religion. And they threatened religious leaders, and they did seek to curtail political activities through agreements and pressure or even persecution of those people that were doing it. And so, again, it's something, it comes back to freedom is what we all want. It's what is called for in the Ten Commandments. Dennis Prager makes it very clear. It's what God is about. And these political systems that can become an idol, that can become something that people worship, especially if they're more interested in power than they are in freedom for people, these are the kind of dangers that we saw enough of. In all of human history, we saw enough of it in the 20th century. But it's not over. It's continuing to go on even today, some of the things that we see around the world. And so, again, we need to have this moral code, and we need to look to the moral code. And when we start to see things getting started that will lead to something other than a belief in personal freedom, more power being invested in the state, we have to do what we can to try to preserve our freedom. And hopefully we'd be able to do it, you know, through a political process, you know, nonviolent, but a political process of people getting together. And so, again, once again, one more reason why young people coming up today need to be introduced to the Ten Commandments as a moral code so that, again, you can introduce them to spirituality and to, you know, God and religion, but also to give them a basis on which to look at what is going on in the world and to make the accurate judgment about what is going on in the world.
Awesome. And hallelujah. That's good. That's good right there. Because where he – okay, now that's Mr. Prager's common sense. Now, let's get into the biblical stuff. Second commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And as Mr. Prager says, anytime you worship anything other than the Almighty God, any system, any belief system, any political system, you're taking the Lord's name in vain. Because there's only one God that we should worship. And let me explain something. God, like I said earlier, God is a jealous God. So there is only one God that we should reverence. That's him. This, and when we say this, what we want you to understand is we're saying to give credence to any other name, whether it's Stalin, Hitler, I don't care who it is, you know, all the presidents, doesn't matter. Anytime you give any kind of special reverence to them over God, you're in trouble. That is what it means to use the Lord's name in vain. Now, let me explain something to you, young people. The meaning of vain has a threefold meaning. Sometimes it's said of that which is false. The Word of God says they have spoken vain things, everyone to his neighbor. One, therefore, takes the name of God in vain when one uses it to confirm what's not true. You know, there are belief systems that want to tell you that they are the end-all, cure-all. They have the answer. You couldn't tell the Nazis that their idea wasn't the greatest idea going. Okay? It uses it to confirm what's not true. Okay? And then it says, love, not a false oath. Thou shalt not live because thou hast spoken a lie in the name of the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people. Have you ever heard someone say, you know, I'm telling the truth, so help me God. That's an insult to God. Because, see, when you swear by God, what you're doing is you're trying to use God like he's your witness. And when you swear falsely, you believe several things. Either you believe God is somehow ignorant of the truth, or there is some kind of ignorance in God. And we know from the Word of God, that's not true, because it says all things are naked and open to the eyes of God. Or maybe you think that God loves a lie, when we know that Satan is the father of lies. And when his Word clearly states he hates it. God hates lies. He hates lies and he hates liars, okay? He said, thou wilt destroy all that speak a lie. Because when you do that in his name, what you're doing is you're lying on God. What you're doing is you're trying to use God to further your agenda. Hello, we see people in pulpits every day using the Lord's name in vain. Because anytime you stand up and you say, well, I swear before God, well, you better stop that. Because when you do that, you know what you're doing? You're putting yourself in danger. Because why? You are binding yourself to the judgment of God. And not only that, you're harming other people. For there can be no lasting society unless we can believe one another. Matters that are doubtful, now they can be confirmed by oath, and an oath is a confirmation, and it puts an end to all controversy. Therefore, he who violates this precept does so and is grievous to self and harmful to others. But sometimes vain can signify useless. Mm-hmm. See, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of men and that they are vain. God's name, therefore, is taken in vain when it is used to confirm vain things. In the Old Testament, it was forbidden to swear falsely. It says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And Christ forbade the taking of oaths except in the case of necessity. Have you heard that it was said to them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself. But I say to you, do not swear at all. And the reason for this is that no part of our body is more weak than our tongue. And the tongue is the one part of our body that man can't tame. And even when we do this, we are perjuring ourselves. The word of God says, let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. You can't be wishy-washy about it. You see, it would be ludicrous for us that believe in God to all of a sudden stop and say, okay, well, it's okay now for us to live this way because the times have changed, or because, you know, we can allow this into the church now. We can live by a different code because the times have changed. Let me explain something to you. The times may change, but God says, I am the Lord your God, and I change not. He was the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's going to be the same forevermore. So when you speak wishy-washy, like, you know, your yeas are not yeas and your nays are not nays, then that's how you're using God's name in vain. When you're putting reverence to something that has no merit. Now, sometimes in vain means sin or injustice. The word of God says, oh, ye sons of men, how long will you be dull of heart? Why do you love vanity? Therefore, he who swears to commit a sin takes the name of his God in vain. Because just as Dennis Prager says, justice consists of doing good and always avoiding evil. Therefore, if you take an oath to steal or commit some crime of this sort, you sin against justice and you sin against God. And although you might not have kept that oath, you're still guilty. Because the Lord says even if you think something, you're guilty. See, Herod did this against John, you see. It is also likewise that justice, when one swears not to do something good at, or to enter a church, or into a religious community, I'm not going into that church. I never enter. Well, you know what? Guess what you're doing? You're using God's name in vain. So you need to understand that the things when we do not deal with people justly, that means that we are taking God's name in vain. And, you know, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God in vain, you know, can be looked at. I have six prongs to that. First of all, however, the name of God may be taken in vain for these six purposes, and I'm going to tell you what they are. First, you can use it to confirm something that he said, you know, because when you do that, you're showing that God and God alone is the truth, and you're showing due reverence to the Creator God Almighty. And so that's one reason. And then it also goes on to say, for this reason, it was commanded in the old law that one must not swear except by God. They who swore otherwise violated this order. By the name of strange gods, you shall not swear. Although at times one swears by creatures, like my brother Rick said, nevertheless, it must be known that this is not the same as taking an oath declaring an oath of God. When you swear by your soul or by your head, again, you're binding yourself to the punishment of God. You know. And the second purpose that we should never, ever take the Lord's name in vain, or when we can call upon the name of the Lord, is in the purpose of sanctification. See, baptism sanctifies. For as Paul, the Apostle Paul said, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. So, baptism doesn't have any power except through the invocation of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The third case, the situation where you can use God's name, is to get rid of an enemy, to send the devil packing. The Word of God says, resist the devil and he shall flee. Well, all you have to do is call on one name, because there's only one name by which you can be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. That's the name of God. And only God can take away our reproach. You didn't die for your sin. You could, like Mr. Prager said, and like my brother pointed out, you didn't save yourself. You didn't create yourself. And the fourth reason is God's name is always used when we're confessing it. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And again, the Word of God says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So by all means, you call upon the name of the Lord. And lastly, calling upon the name of the Lord is our defense. When we stand under the mighty name of God, under the mighty authority of God, under the mighty power of God, Nazism cannot overtake us. Communism will not overtake us. No other form of government will overtake us. The Word of God says all governments sit up on the shoulders of the Most High God, because only his government, his code of ethics is going to stand in the end. See, these Ten Commandments, they're standing now, and they'll still be standing when he cracks that cloud to call us home. So we want you to understand, Mr. Prager wrote a really commonsensical book pertaining to the Ten Commandments, but I want you to have the backstory of what he was basing his commentary on. You can't be free if you're running around lying to each other. We can't be free if we're running around swearing by the stars and swearing by the horoscopes and swearing by... No. You see, only God is faithful. You know, only God is faithful. And you got to remember, it is he, like I said, who hangs the stars, who causes the sun to come up and to go down, to rise and to set. So we must understand, we need to live this commonsensically as a moral code. All Mr. Prager is saying is we have to love one another. A new commandment I have given you, to love one another. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Or keep my commands. And he means all of them, all ten. Do you know that the Sadducees and the Pharisees made up all kinds of rules, all because they couldn't keep ten? Mm-hmm. See, that's the problem with trusting man and going by what we know and trying to do things in and of ourselves and not depending on the God that created us. So I really do like what Mr. Prager said, and I know we have a lot of Bible scholars in here tonight, so I'm not going to try to pick the bones clean and just tell you everything, because I would like to give others an opportunity to come in and speak. We have, because we do have people that stand with Spirit Alive, we have people, Mother Mattie and some others, that are always here with us, and they always have pearls of wisdom. And then we're going to come back, and I want to, after hearing everything, I'm going to ask my dear brother to do what he does as the commandant of Common Sense Show Well. He's going to put it all together, and he's just going to summarize it down for us. Amen. So what I'm going to do now is I have an anointed apostle in the house, someone that I call my sister, my dear friend. She is a major contributor to many programs here at Spirit Alive. So I'm going to ask that apostle, Zeta Flowers, we're dealing with, so I want you to come on in with your commentary on either the first commandment or the second commandment. Bring it on home. Bring it on in, Apostle Zeta.
Well, I am here, and it's been really good. I enjoyed what you both have shared, and I think I want to get that book.
Okay.
But it was so much that was so good and that others need to really hear and know about. I heard our other speaker saying that our Creator, God, cares about us. You know, he mm-hmm. didn't just make us. He didn't just form us into his image, but he cared about us individually, collectively,
mm-hmm.
As a people. Mm-hmm. And that's really important for people to know because, you know, so many people feel unloved.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that was pointed out was that he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son into the world that we might be saved.
That's right.
It's important to know that that's how much he cared, which you know, boils down to really loving us
yes.
in a way that is not based on what we did, who we are, you know, where we were raised or any of that, or our nationality, creed, or anything. It has nothing to do with his love for us. He loves us all.
That's right.
All mankind. And I think that is so important for people to know because we have so many people still yet feeling unloved, feeling like nobody cares, feeling like there is no hope.
Mm-hmm.
We were not created just for nothing. We were not created just to be. We are important to God. We are valued.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has so much for us. Our destiny is so important. God wants not only just to have us here, but to use us among each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We first need to know his love for us and that he loves us. And then we need to know that we're to love God and
mm-hmm.
also his people. So that was
mm-hmm.
that really touched me, and I think that was real clear for those that were listening in. And I enjoyed all the other comments that came from you as well. And
amen.
It was great. It's good. Good, really good teaching.
Amen. Praise God. You know, and when we talk about God's love for us, all the Ten Commandments is God protecting us from ourselves. That's all that is. It's God's way of saying to us, look, I want you to love, if you love me and you love one another, we can live together in unity and harmony because that's the way I designed my world to be. He wants to be in relationship with us. When you're in a good relationship with somebody, do you lie to them? Do you call them out their name? Do you run around treating everybody better than the person that you say you love? Would a man go around complimenting other women and never complimenting his own wife? Would a mother nurture and encourage another child and not do that for their own? You see, what a beautiful world it would be if we really began to wrap our minds around just these first two commandments, that we should never, ever, never, ever, ever, we always have to remember who God is and our relationship to him. When we remember we have one Father, that's God. And I don't care what your name can be, Abdullah, your name can be Maria, your name can be Nubala, I don't care. Your name can be Mufasa if it wants to be. We still have one Father, God. And if we begin to act like a family and operate like a family, just think what we would do to the evil, dark forces of this world if we would just remember who God is and that he created us. Amen? So I want you young people to first and foremost just begin to remember God wants to be in relationship with you. He wants you to know who he is because he created you. He knows who you are. So he wants to get you, he wants you to get to know him as intimately as he knows you. And so you can call up on his name when you are in trouble. Call up on him when you're in need, call upon him. But don't swear. Don't use the Father to for your own vainglory. Don't use his name to further your own agendas. Don't, you know, and I'm talking to preachers too right now, okay, because too many of us have forgotten that God is God, and we want to make money our God. And we are not teaching the word of God for fear of not getting the money. I'm going to tell you something. God's going to hold you accountable for that. You can't stand in God's pulpit and lie on God to his people. You cannot stand in a pulpit and say to a congregation, God told me to tell you that we should have another offering. Don't do it. Because that is taking God's name in vain. Anytime we try to use God for our glory, anytime we want to use God, try to use God to be our witness, we're wrong. We are as wrong as two left shoes, okay? He's God Almighty all by himself. And remember, he's sovereign. He doesn't need your help, doesn't need my help, doesn't need Brother Rick's help, Apostle Vader's help, doesn't need Mother Mattie's help, doesn't need anybody down here. And I don't remember God asking anybody down here for permission to do anything. So to our young people, yes, you want to get along in this world, but you have to first, just like you honor your earthly parents, you must first learn how to honor God and his code, his moral, ethical, righteous, holy code. Amen. Now, I know we have Mother Mattie and some others in the house, and then any of you, anybody, there's a lot of people in this studio tonight. So if you have a comment or a question, or you want to talk about the goodness of God, or you know something about the first and second commandment, please press your one. And I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. That will let you know that you are indeed in the house, and you will help us to evangelize the lost and to edify the saints. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I think, hallelujah. All right, there you go, Mother Mattie.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Good evening. Good evening to everyone. And thank you for keeping Mother Givens in prayer. Thank you for your prayer.
Yes.
Thank you for keeping Michelle Scott in prayer.
Yes, ma'am.
But thank you for your prayers for me as well. I tell you, the program is really good. It, you know, I think about Moses. Moses led the children of Israel, where the Lord had appointed Moses to lead his people from slavery. And I tell you, the Lord created and wrote the Ten Commandments. And Moses was so upset when he did fellowship with the Lord and come back. And the first tablet of the Ten Commandments, poor Moses, he was so upset. He broke it because the people were sinning so. The people had just went crazy. They had made idols and all this stuff. So he went back. He went back, you know, to fellowship with the Lord again, and the Lord, you know, rewritten the Ten Commandments again. So this lesson is a wonderful lesson. The Ten Commandments is something that we should live by. That you're so right, Bishop Cook, because a lot of pastors, they do that. They say, the Lord told me to tell you such and such a thing. We have to be careful how we use the Lord's name. That is so true. And sometimes human beings forget, but you are so right. We have to be very careful how we use the Lord's name in everything. So, you know, the way you broke it down, way the you know, part of the Ten Commandments was broken down, that I enjoyed it. And it's true, we have to love one another. And that's something I hate to say, but that's something you don't see in churches. You don't see love
Come
in the
on.
Church. The house of God is a house of worship, and supposedly a house of worship and love, peace, tranquility, brotherhood, sisterhood, and understanding. We're supposed to welcome everybody in God's house. I don't care if they just come off the street out of a cardboard box. We're supposed
Come on,
to
Mother.
Welcome our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, and you have people in the church, don't want people in the church, trying to omit people out the church, getting rid of people out the church. And I'm just saying, it's not right. And you see the wolves
right.
in sheep clothing. You see the wolves in the sheep clothing. And I'm
mm-hmm.
like, don't you have sense enough to know that the Lord is looking at you? He's judging you. He's judging you by
that's
what
right.
you do. And see, King Jesus is coming back for his church. And that's his saints.
That's right.
He's coming back for his church without a spot, stain, blemish, cat wrinkle, as my mom used to say, wrinkle. I tell you, King Jesus is coming back for his church. He's coming back to judge the world. And he's going to judge the churches worst of all and the under-shepherds. I have to say so.
That's right.
You know?
That's
and,
right.
And what I love about you, Bishop Cook, you just break it down and you just tell us the truth. You just tell the truth like it is. And some people, they don't want to hear the truth. But the truth is a light, and the truth will set you free. And our young children, our young adults and teenagers, they need to hear this. They need to hear this. Some children have never been in church, never been in a church. I mean, you know, we have to constantly pray, and you know, the Ten Commandments as well. Yes, we need to go by that. We need to go by that. Yes, ma'am, we need to go by that. But it was a very wonderful lesson. And I gain more wisdom and knowledge as well from this. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Mother Mattie. We love you. All right. I said,
Amen.
Oh,
I love you too. Love you
is,
too.
I do believe this is Mother Tibbetts. Hallelujah.
Yes,
is this
it
you,
is.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you so much. I first want to thank you all for the prayers that you sent toward me and allowed me to come home. And I'm doing
yeah.
well. I thank you so much. And this was a beautiful lesson. I'm just so happy that there were kids or young people in the audience to hear how it was explained. And this isn't
yeah.
just for the young people. These commandments are for all of us. And if
yeah.
we just go and abide by what God is telling us, this would be a better world. And I think
yes,
Sister Cook, no, I'm sorry, this is Apostle Cook and Bishop Flowers and Brother Rick and also Sister
yes.
Mantee for her comments. So thank you for listening. Again, I thank you so much and continue to pray for me and I'll pray for you.
Amen.
Thank
love
you,
you,
Mother Gibbons.
Love you,
we love you
Spirit.
So much. And yours of love and support means the world to us here at Spirit Alive. Amen. And,
yeah.
You know, I love it that what I love about this network is that we have multi-generational people standing in unity together on one accord, the way God intended us to stand. And so I just praise God that young people listen, our elders listen. You know, we're standing as one, on one accord, just praising God and coming together. And we're all doing exactly what the first and second commandment is telling us. We're lifting up the name of God. We're giving God reverence.
Yeah.
We are. You know, we're recognizing Him as the one true God. And as our Father, we are one. We are one body in Christ. So I praise God for all of you. Now I'm gonna go to area code 831, last four digits 0939. I think this is my sister Rosalie. Lord Jesus, all right, 831-0939. Hi, beloved.
I just am so blessed by your teaching and so grateful that we are being given this to bring us back to the foundation of our faith, the very word of God that started the ball rolling. And I am so blessed by the interpretation and tutorial that we get from Brother Rick.
Yes.
And the knowledge that we gain through this, things that we may have overlooked before in the commandments, and we're getting a closer look at it, a more in-depth look, and it's basically opening our eyes to a lot of things that we took for granted. They were always like a religious mantra to us when we were growing up. I grew up in the Catholic Church, so there was a lot of repetition. And it wasn't until I came into the fullness of the Lord through a full gospel church that I finally realized that I was saying it, but I was not understanding it, and I certainly wasn't living it. And I just bless God and praise His name for blessing us with you, with both Brother Rick and your ministry. And I just pray, God, the ongoing success of your ministry. And
Thank you.
You are always there to speak out to us the truth of the gospel.
Amen. Thank you, my dear sister. Oh, God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, this is what it's all about here. You know, I tell people, it is my joy to help people to come into a better understanding of God's word. It is also my great joy to be a student of God's word. I have been in ministry for over 30 years. But I still am just as excited about hearing something new, hearing something, a little tidbit that I've never heard before. And so that's what I loved about this book, and I love my brother Rick because, you know, he is the type of man, I tell people, my job is to make sure I don't have to do everything perfectly, but what I do is I get people that are good at what they do, and I get us all in the same room. Brother Rick is excellent at commentary. Like I said, he is the commandant of common sense, and I like the way his mind thinks, and I like the way he puts things together. I couldn't have presented this book as well, I don't feel, as well as he is presenting it to us. And plus, I love his voice. I can just listen to this man talk. But I praise God that we have a space where we can all come together and share our love of God, share our love for each other, and to reverence God and to just know that we are all on one accord. We're not in this alone. What we believe, you know, like Mother Matisse said, it's almost, the church acts almost as though they have put the Ten Commandments out of the church, you know? And that's sad. You know, we forget that God, it's all about God. It's all about Jesus. It's never going to be about us. So when we learn to give God his proper due, give him the respect he's due of being creator, God Almighty, of being our provider, for being our savior, for being our peace and our joy, for being our good shepherd. We need to learn how to give God the reverence he is due. And we also need to do all things in honesty and in truth. When it comes to God, we should do all things in honesty and truth, but we should especially speak the word of truth concerning the things of God. We can't make it up as we go. That's why he gave us the manual, the Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. We don't have to make it up. He's already written it. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Anybody else? I see the Lawsons out there in California. They're in the house. Would you two like to have a word? Either one of you want to have a word. Sister Terry, Brother Lee, what's going on with you? Speak to us.
Call in,
Lee.
How do I get on there? How do I do that?
You're talking. You're on. Hey, Brother Lee.
Just calling you.
Brother Lee, this is Brother Lee. Are you hearing me?
Just fine.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. I've been listening to this wonderful presentation. I've been listening to some of my good friends that have participated in your program. And I just wanted to say to you, my dear sister Sherlene, that I think you are a wonderful person, and I think the
Aww.
People you are associating yourself with that help you make this program possible, excellent and wonderful people. And I have just gotten so much, really, so much good out of listening to you. And Rick, you did a great job again, and you are my brother. And
thank you, Lee.
Sister called in her car phone. She's our caregiver, Lee, and we love
Amen.
Her. And so thank you, Sherlene, for everything, okay?
All right. Thank you, Brother Lee. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Does our sister want to have a word? Sister Terry?
I love you, Sherlene, and forward to the day that we can see you in person again, and we give our blessed thoughts to your mom who's ailing.
Sure will. Will do. Will do. Thank you so much.
And Sister Terry wants to say a word.
Amen. Hi, my sweet sister.
Oh, I loved every minute of it, and I also am grateful that you are praying for me and my eyes, and I will let you know the outcome. And thank you, Brother Rick, for all that you do for us, and also for my dear, dear love. Rosalie is just the greatest. We love her. She's
yes,
our
she
sister.
Is.
Yes, I love her. I love all of you.
Oh,
and
God
I,
bless you here.
That's okay.
Hallelujah.
Anyway, hallelujah. We just love all of you. And
well, we love you.
Have a wonderful, weekend.
Amen. Hallelujah. What a beautiful blessing. I love what I do. I love the people I do it with. I love the people that, you know, God is so gracious and so kind. And that's one of the reasons why I love him so, because these beautiful souls that you hear tonight, these are the warriors. These are the folks that are not ashamed of the gospel. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Rick is not one, you know, you're probably never going to see Brother Rick walking down the street with a coffee-sized table Bible, ever. But he's a good man, and he's a godly man. And he knows what makes sense. And only he would think, he said, you know, I know we want our kids to learn these Ten Commandments, but, you know, a lot of them, especially in today's time, you know, they're sitting, like you said, their iPad is their God. Their iPhones are their God. Their social media is their God. They want everything to be God except for God. So he said, let's use the common sense approach. Let's hit them from, look, you want to live in this world? You want to be successful in this world? Let's go back to this moral code right here. The Ten Commandments. So at this time, if there be nothing else, I want to once again to call upon the Commandant of Common Sense, my dear brother, Rick, for any final comments that he may have at this time before we close out for tonight.
Okay, one last interpretation of taking the name of the Lord in vain. For the Lord will not hold guiltless, meaning will not forgive, whoever takes his name in vain. Now, there is a translation for vain that could mean carry or misuse. So do not misuse the name. It means committing evil in God's name, and that God will not forgive. When an irreligious person commits evil, it doesn't bring God and religion into disrepute. But when religious people commit evil, especially in God's name, they're not only committing evil, they're doing terrible damage to the name of God. The people who murder in the name of God not only kill their victims, they kill God too. And that's why the greatest sin is religious evil. And that's what the commandment is there to teach. Don't carry God's name in vain. If you do, God won't forgive you. So. How's that?
Now, that's about as clear as a transparent coat of paint, okay? So there it is. You don't want to give God the reverence he's due, then he doesn't have to give you any consideration. If you want to use God's name in vain, well, you know, you're going to be living in vain because you're not going to see eternal life. You might have, you know, we need to get these precept upon precept upon precept. And then we have to live it for ourselves. How many people do we see when we out and about in the world and we hear people just throwing them GDs around they stub their toes. Don't you know what in the who you play? Hold up. Or the atheist. Let's talk about that atheist. The atheist says, I don't believe there's a God. There's no God. There's no God. But the first car accident they get in. Jesus! Are you calling on somebody you don't know? That you don't believe in? Okay? See, you're going to line up under the commander-in-chief, that's Father God, and you're going to march by his beat of his drum, or you're going to go along. The wages of sin is death. And permanent separation from God. And two of the fastest ways that you can separate yourself from God is these first two right here. These first two. The other eight commandments are based on these first two. If you don't get the fact, if you don't understand that Jesus is love, if you don't understand that God is love, if you do not understand that God loves us and we ought to love him, you're not going to do the rest of these commandments. You're not. You're not going to have, if you don't love God, you're not, like Brother Rick said, you're not going to have a problem killing folks in his name. If you don't really have a relationship with God, you're not going to mind lying on God. And like he said, so again, to you under shepherds, we are saying, please, please, this is not being done out of condemnation. This is not being said out of judgment. Please. Unless God tells you to tell his people something, don't you say that God told you to tell them that. And you also need to understand this, people. Everybody that runs up on you talking about they've got a word from the Lord, I cry foul. BS. Everybody ain't got a word. Okay? Everybody don't have a word from God for you. So stop running around looking for other people to give you a word from God when God will give you a word himself. He has never had. I'm going to tell you something. Every time God wants me to know something, I never miss the memo, ever. Never, ever. I get it. So we have to first put God in his rightful place. He is not a God with a small g. He is God, almighty, sovereign.
Yeah.
Okay. King Jesus. So we pray that tonight that you will just have a dialogue with the young people about this moral code being a moral code, an ethical code, but it's a holy code. It's God's code. And we know that everything goes better when, you know, I know the commercial says that, oh, everything goes better with Coke, no, Coca-Cola. No, it don't. Everything goes better with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Everything goes better with Jesus Christ. I'm trying to tell you.
That's right.
You can live a better life if you acknowledge Jesus Christ. Hey, you can have what you need when you need it, as much as what you need if you're reverent God.
That's right.
See, you give God what he's due, and he's going to bless you, pressed down, shaken together until running over. And I want to just publicly across all, we're global. So I want everybody to know, Brother Rick Altman, you have blessed my soul. Just the fact that you are usually heard in the political arenas. This man has been on CNN. This man has been a political analyst for some of the best. He has written all kinds of articles. But you step out of your comfort zone to come and bless your little sister and your friend. And for that, my brother, I truly love you, and I am grateful to you. Thank you so much.
It is my pleasure. Thank you.
Hallelujah. So we just, you know, I just admire your wisdom. I just truly admire the way that you look at things. You have so many wonderful takes on with your interpretation. And we were truly blessed by that tonight. I want to thank Mother Maxine, Mother Givens, my dear sister Rosalie, my beautiful family, Lee and Terry Lawson. I want to thank, of course, Apostle, my ride or die sister, friend, and co-laborer, Apostle Zeta Flowers. And I want to thank all of you young people that were in the chat room, those of you that were listening via your computers, via Skype, all of you that are listening via Instagram, God bless you. And we just want you to know that we're here for you. We're here to pray for you. We're here to bless you with God's word. We don't ask for any offerings here. We don't beg here. We don't we don't have any fashion shows here. There are no car shows here. We can't see you. All you're going to get from us here is Spirit Alive is the Word of God.
Amen.
And we are so blessed to be able to present that to you each and every week. And so on behalf of myself, our commandant of common sense, Brother Rick Altman, and the entire Spirit Alive family, because everybody that you heard tonight, that's family. Oh, yeah. Bishop Cook is guilty of keeping it in the family. Sure is. Mm-hmm. Guilty. I do keep it all in the family. Yes, I do. I keep it all in the family. Hallelujah. So we want to say, God, we love you. God bless you. We pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. You have yourself a beautiful and blessed weekend. Remember that the Ten Commandments is still the best moral code because it's God's code. And from our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night. And God bless you from all of us here at the Common Sense Files and the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, everyone. I love you. God bless you.
Good night.
Family
love
of God,
good night.
I love you.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, Brother Rick. God bless you, Brother Rick. God bless you all.
Love
you all.
All of you.
God bless you, Bishop Cook.
Thank you.
God bless you. Welcome. Love you. Love you, Rick.
Love you all.
Love you
all. That was